Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dale, NAB's Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour, and today I'm going to be speaking with James Swan, who is NABTrade's Manager of International Investing. James has an exceptional background in exactly that, investing and trading in international markets. So I thought I'd ask him some of the questions we've been getting a heap of lately, which is how to get started in international shares. James, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Gemma. It's a pleasure to be here.
So James, the US market in particular has been looking really attractive to Australian investors over the last couple of years. Firstly, because it ran so hard, right? And delivered some incredible returns for investors. And then because we've had this real return of volatility in the last month or so. So investors feel, you know, maybe if they missed out a little while ago, suddenly this might be a good opportunity to get in. What are you seeing from the NABTrade investor base at the moment?
Yeah, you're right, Gemma. The US market has been showing off over the past few years with some pretty incredible returns and milestones as well that have been achieved along the way. We've seen the Dow race about 25% higher in 2017 and crossing that all-important 25,000 points. That was in January earlier this year. So making 2017 the best year since around 2013. This incredible rise in the US stock market is a result of resurgent economic growth and enormous corporate profits. The biggest catalyst was likely the sweeping tax cuts that the White House signed into law in December 2017. Over time, this is likely to save corporate America billions on what they owe to the IRS, and hopefully that most of this will come repatriated back into jobs and technology. This rise has seen much of our investor base become brand loyalists of sorts. There has been a tendency to follow global trends and stick towards the notable tech and consumer giants like Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. These are securities that have enjoyed a significant rise in value over the last 2 or 3 years. There's also been a return of interest to the financial sector, with JP Morgan making a surprise entry into our top 10 traded instruments, and also Berkshire Hathaway B-Class and Visa Corp have made a surprising entry as well.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So let's start at the beginning. We know that Australian investors have a really strong home country bias, which is the term we give when people buy basically a bucket load of shares in their local exchange, a lot of domestic companies, and they don't look offshore so much. You know, they'll hold, frankly, the largest proportion of their equity portfolio at home. What does that look like in reality, and what does that mean for Australian investors?
Yeah, in reality, I mean, we've seen that Australians represent only around 2% of the global equity market. So, you know, most of it's heavily concentrated in the banking and mining sectors. In all fairness, whilst we do offer one of the most structurally sound and robust financial markets in the world, we're quite limited to the exposure and types of sector diversity and companies that are listed on the ASX. We've recently seen international share ownership in Australia surpass the pre-GFC peaks. We're climbing towards 10% for Australians of international share ownership.
So that's still really low. I mean, 10% of your total portfolio is still really small.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a great deal of diversity there, I guess, exposure to international and emerging markets. But it's thought that this may be, you know, the appetite has increased due to the digitisation of markets and better access for direct ownership through online brokers like NABTrade. What does this mean for the 90% of who aren't diversified in investing internationally? Well, they're potentially missing out on greater diversification and lower risk by accessing a broader range of sectors and some of the world's best known businesses.
Yeah, right, okay. So what do you think people are becoming aware of some of the opportunities that come with investing offshore? Or are they still pretty comfortable with that home country bias?
Look, I think they're pretty comfortable with the home country bias, but more and more people are becoming comfortable with the opportunities abroad. Particularly in the consumer goods and tech sectors, where we're bombarded daily with advertising from familiar brands like Tesla, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Visa, MasterCard. The list goes on, and it's really hard to escape all of that. The mass marketing campaigns that they have. In my opinion, it's the consumer goods and tech companies that open domestic investors' minds or opinions to overseas investing. Mm. In saying that, I think there's still a long way to go with regards to investor education and international markets in Australia. Many investors shy away from direct ownership of foreign shares as they're not familiar with the taxation treatments. There's foreign tax is there's always been this mythical link about, you know, I don't know what I'm going to be paying. Is it going to be completely over the top? Mm-hmm. I'm not cut out for it, or my tax advisor doesn't know.
Yeah.
But look, it's I think the proper independent tax research can get you over the line. It's a lot easier and accessible than it was, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yep.
So, look, I certainly hear and see what you're talking about. That interest in the global tech brands is fascinating. You know, to have an Apple phone in your hand or a Samsung phone in your hand, and through that you will access Facebook and you will access Google and you will access all of these things. So these brands, you know, it makes it so apparent what you're buying, right? Because you have the technology literally at your fingertips all the time.
Sure.
So I think... And also, you know, I do a little bit of television here and there, or a lot of presentations and so on. When I am talking, people are far more interested when I talk about international stuff rather than domestic. So if someone is interested in investing offshore, how would you suggest they get started?
Look, I think a great way to get started and exposure to international markets is by looking at ETFs and managed funds that are within Australia, so listed on the ASX. Exchange-traded funds, for those who don't know, an ETF, you know, that ownership can give you exposure to a broad range of large international companies in developed and emerging markets. They can also be used to diversify internationally and seek long-term growth opportunities in your portfolio. I think that the, you know, global ETFs and managed funds, where they're trying to track investment.
So just to clarify, those investments are Australian-based, right? So you can buy them via the ASX and they're taxed like any other Australian investment?
Yeah, absolutely. They're ASX listed, which include global listed companies, and readily available and taxed like any other Australian investment. The fund manager that creates the ETF will assume all the international tax liabilities and reporting, which will be reflected in the fund manager's management fee.
Okay, well that's really useful. So many investors obviously already own ETFs, and we see through NabTrade all the time that they're hugely popular. And they're often buying the S&P 500 out of the US, for example. And many people are buying managed funds also. Increasingly, we're seeing, to the conversation we were having earlier, that people are really interested in owning individual stocks, and particularly those big brands. Investors can do that via NabTrade and through other platforms. What are the big brands that you're seeing people buy?
Yeah, we have, like I said before, a lot of brand loyalists within NabTrade. So they tend to be, you know, I guess it's aiming at the more popular or top end of town tech stocks and consumer stocks. So we're usually looking at, you know, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Alibaba. And there's a few ProShares ETFs in there as well that are, you know, forming our top 10. So that's actually quite interesting to see them creeping in from time to time.
That's really interesting. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but every single one you've mentioned is listed in the US, right?
Correct, yeah.
But investors can access more than just the US market?
Yeah, 100%. So with NabTrade, you can actually access the UK, Germany and Hong Kong as well.
Right, okay.
So we're looking in the future to add additional markets, but mm-hmm. at the moment we're finding there's more appetite for these four markets.
And very explicitly the US, right?
Absolutely.
So these four markets, but mostly the US.
Yeah, yeah.
and you've mentioned NVIDIA before as well. I love talking about NVIDIA.
Yeah.
People really, once they know what it is, they just look at their kids gaming all the time and go, oh yeah, no, I know what that is.
We own that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, at least I'm making some money out of my child spending 9 hours a day in their bedroom. Okay, so in this scenario, clearly an investor is keen to own one or more specific companies that aren't listed in Australia. They're not based in Australia. They might have revenues not coming just from the US, right? I mean, I'll give the NVIDIA example, it's great.
Yeah.
Their revenue is not coming from the US, it's coming from everywhere.
Sure.
It is everywhere. So how does an Adelaide-based or a Gold Coast or Melbourne-based investor make that happen? You know, it wouldn't have even been possible 20 years ago. It would have been incredibly difficult for the average person to get access to that. What's changed?
Yeah, absolutely. International trading's come a long way in the last 20 years. There was a time where you'd wait months for a stock certificate to come, you know, via the mail from abroad, if you know, from a corporate event or something like that. But you know, thanks to the digitisation of markets, ownership of direct international equities is realised, you know, almost instantly once settlement has happened. So it's usually within 3 days, so trade day plus 2 days for clearing. International share ownership has never been easier, and in most cases, it's as simple as placing a trade for ASX listed equities. NabTrade, the same platform, Total Wealth View, Research and Autopads can easily be switched between domestic and international equities. So, you know, we usually find that some investors, you know, that are trading with NabTrade who automatically have a domestic account when they're opening their domestic and cash accounts, they're given an international trading account also, but not activating straight away. So this is probably a good time to, you know, call that out and encourage everyone. Just have a look. If you haven't provided your tax file number and your driver's license, that's all that's needed to activate your account. Mm-hmm. And then you can start looking through the through what we offer for global markets and do some research and hopefully you'll find some value in there.
So something interesting to do. So if I would like to get an international broking account, as you say, a NabTrade investor, it's effectively part of your option anyway, so that's pretty straightforward. I'd like to start buying international shares. How do I go about choosing? Yeah, what do I need to consider?
So there's quite a few factors when you're that you need to take into consideration when you're seeking out an international trading account. The things that come to mind at a high level that you should, you know, probably be aware of are the markets on offer from the broker that you select.
If you're only going to buy the US, you're largely like our investor base.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the term I used before, brand loyalists, right? Yeah. So particularly in Australia, we've got a massively diverse you know, multicultural society. Mm. So you've got people from all pockets of, around the world, and people like brands that they've used before. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're coming from the UK, there might be a, you know, particular brand that you've had there that, right, okay, I'm definitely going for that. That might be an option for you. So that's really important, I think, to make sure that you've got the reach with the markets on offer. Research, to me, research is key. If you've got a great research platform and you're able to get as much knowledge out of that as you can to make an informed decision, then that's a real big one. Brokerage costs, including FX charges, again, that's, you know, that's pretty important. There's a lot of difference between having a, you know, a broker which is a full service advised broker that's going to charge you, you know, quite a bit to I guess lead you or guide you in the way of an investment that might be right for you.
Yeah.
But self-directed, which we are at NabTrade, you know, we've got a great offering of starting at $14.95 for trades under $5,000 or up to $5,000. Sorry. And brokerage, the FX brokerage is around, it'd be about 65 basis points for that. So these are things to take into consideration when you're selecting your broker.
Costs are always critical, right? You don't want your costs to be eating up all of the returns you're hoping to make.
Another big one too, regulatory obligations. So particularly with the US, when you go into an agreement with a broker, you go one of two ways. There's a W-8 BEN form, which, you know, a lot of listeners have probably heard of and filled out before. Mm-hmm. And that's your, I guess, direct link to the IRS. So it's...
We all want a direct link to the
IRS. We all do, don't we?
We all want one.
It'd be nice if it was the other way and they were giving us money rather than the other way around.
That's the tax office in the US, right?
Yeah.
And they have extraordinary reach. Yeah. They're going after everybody.
So what we... mentioning the W-8 BEN form, that would be at an individual level, the security owner would have to go and complete this form. It's held by a broker and communicated back to the IRS. Mm-hmm. At NabTrade, we've taken a step to become a qualified intermediary, which removes the need for an investor to have that laborious task of filling out all the paperwork and managing it over a three-year period. So that's where we make it easy for our clients. So regulatory obligations is a big one. Custodial arrangements, who's actually holding your shares overseas. We use the services of HSBC as a global custodian. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's a bank that's reputable, they have a great credit rating, and they're not about to go down the gurgler.
I think you and I have had this conversation before, and for young people it probably doesn't mean very much, but for those who've been around a long time, during the GFC...
Yeah.
Those things, custodial arrangements sound so boring, but during the GFC, we all got a very, very sharp wake up as to how important it is that the agency that holds whatever you own, theoretically, is reputable and has the backing, right?
100%. If they go down the gurgler and they're holding your shares, there's, you know, a good chance you may be affected down the track. But, you know, there are regulations in place to secure your assets. So, you know, we're hoping nothing like that ever happens.
Yeah, we don't want to see that happen again. But it is an important factor. The average retail investor, I think, has a high level of trust in institutions these days, in terms of the security of their assets, but ensuring that they, you know what steps have been taken on their behalf is quite important.
Absolutely. A few other ones that come to mind, the tax treatment of income and capital gains. We, at NAB Trade, we have an obligation to the IRS, as I mentioned before, you know, where we're reporting any income that's been captured at source. It all forms part of tax returns in Australia as well. So I guess it's around the completion of any regulatory documentation you need to be aware of. Total wealth view is a really important one, to me at least anyway. To be able to log in and see, okay, here's my international share exposure. I can see my domestic share portfolio in there as well. But if you're with a bank or somewhere where you're holding a credit card, savings account, and a mortgage as well, to be able to see that on one page, I mean,
that's really everything.
It's so really
valuable.
Important. Yeah.
I do, I think also, and we'll probably talk about this another time, but given how heavily concentrated the Australian market is in two sectors, really, so resources and in financials, when I look at international trading, I want to ensure that I'm diversifying my exposure, not buying more financials and resources, right? So they're very highly correlated across markets, not just within them. Yep. So if I buy Australian banks and I buy US-based banks, if there's another credit crisis or financial crisis of any type, they tend to go down together. And obviously commodity prices affect all resources wherever they're based. So I quite like being able to see them all in one place so I can see what my sector diversification is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, I think another great thing to have, you know, to consider as well is integration with third-party applications. There's a lot of companies out there now, you know, startups and tech companies who are identifying gaps in the markets with brokers and saying, look, we can pull all of your data out of your broking platform, mix in with any other income that you're receiving, and have a total sort of tax reporting view as well. That's a handy thing to look out for. And administration and accounting, especially for self-managed super funds, that's another thing to be aware of as well. Make sure that you can keep a track of all of your holdings and
particularly
income.
Your accountant can account for it, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So certainly for self-managed super funds, there are a handful of major players in the software market for tax and accounting, right? So the administration service or the accountant that you go to will use one of these platforms.
Sure.
And they've had to evolve to allow people to invest in international shares directly because
they
really didn't accommodate it terribly well a few years back. So many important things to consider. I was going to ask you about fees and brokerage and say, is it prohibitively expensive? But you've answered that question so well. Let's talk about research, because obviously as an individual, you're going into a whole new area. It's obviously challenging to make decisions in that environment. Research is really important. As a novice investor, even a seasoned investor, how do I get access to really good quality research that helps me make good decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, through NabTrade, we have Morningstar as a partner to provide research. You can find, once you're sort of drilling down into particular stocks, you'll have reports on sort of the weighting of the security. You'll be able to find, long-term growth predictions as well, as far as what their analysts are saying. I think it's very important to have a good mix of qualitative and quantitative research. Mm-hmm. It's really, at the end of the day, as a self-directed investor, if you're going to go down that path, to have a well-informed view. So it is important to, you know, I don't think it's so much as a Google chat room or something like that, but
there's a few of those.
But I think if you're if you're willing to subscribe to a few of the research services out there, which we can probably pop up, in a link to the podcast, but definitely it is worth paying that little bit extra to receive the quality research.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay. So many things to think about. Anything else that people should be considering at this point or might want to consider perhaps?
Yeah, I think it's important to call out things like participation in corporate events. They're really important to some people, particularly proxy voting. So if there's an AGM that's coming up and you're a shareholder, you've got a right to have your voice heard and put forward a vote. Some people get them in the mail and they just go straight into the recycling. But, you know, it is...
At least they recycle. That's
absolutely. Yeah. I had to get that in there. It is important to a lot of people to have that vote. So if that's important to you, then absolutely ask a question of your broker if you can do that. There'll be things like rights issues and rights exercises, you know, the whole sort of spectrum of corporate events that are available. I definitely ask if you can participate, because at some times it is at the discretion of the broker whether or not they can participate through their custodian, but right. It's well worth asking that question. As I mentioned before too, I think the integration with third-party apps is really important. There's just so much available out there at the moment. It's definitely worth having a look at that. That's pretty much what comes to mind at the moment.
Thank you so much. It's a hugely valuable overview of some of the issues that people think about. You know, if you're moving into direct international shares for the first time, it's a brave new world and sometimes it's a bit intimidating. I think you mentioned before, so every NabTrade investor automatically gets an international trading account, which is probably something a lot of people aren't aware of. If they want to get started or at least start exploring or think about it more, where do they go?
Yeah, sure. So basically they can, once you're onto our website, so www.nabtrade.com.au /international, that's where you can find us. You'll be able to have a look in your account view to see if your international account is active or inactive.
Right.
From there, if you're wanting to activate your account, there's a couple of ways you can do it. We actually will require a form of photo identification, which is your driver's license or passport, which you may have already provided in the AML account opening documentation, and a tax file number as well. So these are requirements we ask for as part of, again, as I mentioned, regulatory requirements for the IRS.
Yep.
This is so we can keep our status as a qualified intermediary.
Yep. Okay.
So that can be provided over the phone. You can call some of that detail through, mm-hmm. or it can be uploaded and sent through to us as well. Or you can call through, as I said before, on 1313 80, mm-hmm. and speak to one of the front office guys and they'll be able to guide you through there as well.
Yeah, awesome. James, thank you so much for your time. I think that's really helpful for people. And I would suggest also, because we get this question all the time, you know, when's a good time to get started in international, or I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that. And markets are obviously quite interesting for the first time in ages after marching higher at a rapid clip. They're starting to move around a bit. So if you're interested, just go in and activate it. And then, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. Just have a look around, see what's there. And if at some point markets are interesting enough for you to feel confident taking a step, then you're ready to go rather than sort of the last minute trying to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's over 10,000 securities that we offer online for international markets. So there's a huge amount of potential out there for all the listeners.
The people who are interested.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening also. So if you've got any ideas or questions you'd like to send us, please email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au. That's how we came up with this particular topic. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Gemma Dale and look forward to talking with you again soon on Your Wealth.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.